Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to you all. My name is Debbie, and I am an alcoholic. Our fifth tradition states that our primary purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Valley Group honors this tradition by rigorously searching for the finest recovery speakers in the Western Hemisphere. Excuse me. So that they can share their experience, strength, and hope with us. Each week, we recognize one of the speakers for their service to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is now time to recognize Valley Group's Outstanding Speaker of the Week. The nominee for this category has a sobriety date of December 24th, 2009. He has been continually or has held service positions such as ASR for ACIPA of Tulare County. He's secretary of the Tuesday night Civic Center meeting. Young People, he was a secretary for the Young People's meeting, secretary for the Serenity Seekers in the Blue Room. He's held multi positions at the Alano Club, and he's currently sponsoring four people. His favorite AA motto is, give it away to keep it. You know, I really like what the commitment that I have here, because it's a privilege and an honor to introduce our speakers at the meeting. And some of them I know and some of them I don't. And when I came back to AA in last year, the gentleman who's going to speak for us tonight was an attraction of AA. We talk about attraction rather than promotion, and I was really glad that he was here when I came back. And so, with having said that, may I have the envelope, please? Woohoo! Now, I had heard we had the speaker, the word on the street that I got this morning was the speaker was going to be here. So, the winner of the Outstanding Speaker of the Week award is Happy Allen K. from Visalia. Visalia?
Wow. Got a whole dollar on that?
$2.19.
God, people are so short. Okay. My name's Alan. I'm a happy alcoholic.
Hi, Alan.
Well, I've never done this before, first of all. I've never done a speaker meeting this long. And definitely not on a stage behind a podium. But to kind of blow my ego down a little bit, there's a couple people I kind of want to thank for giving me this opportunity. Bill Hatzman, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, and everyone back here. I wouldn't be here with a couple of more people, actually. The first one is my mother. She's been supporting me ever since. It's been amazing. I'd also like to give a little recognition to my fiance over here, Laura. Done amazing things in my life. I'd also like to thank my friend here, Jerry. He's been a real good part of my sobriety lately. And last but not least, I'd like to thank Alex for being here tonight. He's one of my little sponsees, so. I guess I'm going to do the classic experience, strength and hope thing. I was an awkward kid. It's very awkward. Still am, actually. I'm a very awkward person. And I actually enjoy awkward silences. So I'm one of those people. I was the kid that went to school with his shoes on backwards. The one that wore really strange outfits and would get mad at my mother because she wouldn't let me do so. And all the kids teased me. I didn't have very much friends, and the friends I did have were not exactly the best influences in my life. I went to Viva Blunt here in Visalia, actually, when I was in elementary school, the Vikings. It was very bad time of my life, actually, when I was a child. My parents got a divorce when I was 3 years old, and I've had to go through two different families, and then another one, and then another one. At a very young age, I was very depressed. Didn't really know how to express that, though, so I wore my shoes on the wrong feet. You know, that's what I kind of decided. My sponsor told me a while back that I wasn't a crappy person. I was a sick person. attitude is a lot to me. And my attitude sucked. It still kind of does, you know. My attitude's always been really messed up. I call my sponsor up sometimes and I'm like, I've had a really crappy day. He's like, did you have a crappy day or did you have a crappy attitude? And I had a crappy attitude. Every time I have a crappy attitude, I have a crappy day. Simple math. I got into middle school, about the same thing, but this time alcohol was involved. I started drinking at the age of 11. At this time I had a little brother that my dad and my stepmom had. He had heart complications. I had left my mother to live with this family, and I also didn't talk to my mother either. And I also decided to drink at her. And I drank at the situations. I drank at all these people that I hated in my life. Because when I took that first drink, it was actually in my head the way I could bond with my stepmother. Because she hated me, okay? Everyone hated me, right? I mean, she hated me, though, specifically. She didn't hate the world. She wasn't sick as I was. She hated me. And that's what my attitude was. So I decided to drink with her. Maybe this would be the first bonding experience I'd ever get with this woman. So she hands me a Michelob Ultra. Remember it. I remember it like yesterday, my first drink. I remember it. It was a beautiful thing, actually. Because all that stuff I just talked about was gone. All of it. I felt good. For the first time in my life, I actually felt good. I found my higher power. I gave myself to it. I started being conniving, a liar, a thief, a cheat. Everything that I ever imagined to be a cool person, I became. I was 10 feet tall. Everyone loved me all of a sudden. And, but I was so sad inside when it was over. So guess what I did? I kept doing it. And kept doing it. Every day, by the time I got into high school, I had this girlfriend. Her name was Sarah Locke. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna say her name. Sarah Locke. She's in Illinois, she won't care. I lived in Illinois, by the way. I lived in a small town called Farmington, Illinois. Can you guys guess what our mascot was at school? The Farmers, yeah. So it was a very small town. I think it had about 2,000 people in it. Everyone knew everyone. And everyone knew me and Sarah. And she was my life. I gave myself over to this girl. She was my new alcohol. But I still needed that fix. I didn't know what was wrong with me. Actually, I was embarrassed about it. So I hid it. I hid it from all my friends. All of a sudden, I was this closet drinker. You know, I was one of those people that would sit in my closet with Captain Morgan, my best friend in the world. I was like 12, 13 years old, drinking Captain Morgan. Actually, I had it in with one of the clerks there in Farmington. I could get as much alcohol as I wanted as long as I had the money to give them. Or the whatever side dishes I had to give them, you know, whatever I could. I was 12. I was 12 in my disease. And I started off right on the bat. It's that first drink set me off. This is a progressive disease, folks. I don't care. It's a progressive disease. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. It'll kill you. I was 12 years old doing all these things. Conniving, cheating, lying, thieving things. And I was sad. It's the only thing that made me feel good. All through high school, I was still that awkward kid, right? Never quite got the idea of what cool was, right? I never understood cool. I was that awkward kid all the time. This girl broke up with me, okay? This girl broke up with me. I was about a year younger than her, and she just didn't see it happening anymore, apparently. Many a 4 steps later, I have forgiven her for this, but she hurt me a lot. Put my middle finger up to the world and dyed my hair black. That'll show them, you know. I dyed my hair black. And I grew it out. Then I put some eyeliner on. Not kidding. Went to Hot Topic, bought some skinny jeans. Straighten my hair every day with my teeth straightener. That'll show them. That'll show them who I really am. This dark, messed up person inside came out finally. Converse, that was another one. Went to school the next day. If I didn't have my friend Arthur, I don't know how many times I would have gotten beaten up. Arthur was like my wingman. Very big German guy. He hung out by my side every day in the locker. He knew that kid was going to get beat up, so I was his freshman. So we ran together a lot. Selling drugs, drinking booze. And I was like 13, 14 years old. It was like that for a long time. I got into side dishes. I do not talk about an Alcoholics Anonymous. But I know it all started because of drinking, that's for sure. And every second of those side dishes was my, you know, my main, what do you call that? It was my main course. It was alcohol. My main course is alcohol. And all the other stuff is just like a little icing on the cake for me. It was fun. I had a great time in high school. I'm not going to forget those memories. But I was miserable every step of the way. I had to make my life fun. I was driving that car already. I was controlling my own life. I had no God. God wasn't in my life. Screw that. Okay. I had a stash. Yes, I was 17 at this point. I skipped over a lot. I'm not going to go into my story really deep. But I had my own stash. It was in my walk-in closet in my Victorian room in Farmington. It was in the closet. You got to open a drawer, get into the drawer, pull the floorboard up, and there it was, a big space, a little crawl space under my room. My dad found that somehow. To this day, I don't know how. I didn't tell anybody about that, including that guy Arthur. I didn't tell anyone about it. I mean, I swear. I didn't tell anyone because he found it. He had a big old trash bag. And he said, "You're out. It's a one-way ticket to your mom's this Christmas." I was like, "Okay, this was the year 2008, Mom? Yeah, 2008. You're gone." Didn't know what to do. I was lost. I was 18. I was sick. I didn't get to drink anymore. That was the end of my life. Because my mom had been in AA, I don't know, a long time. 18 years? About 18? 17 years. 17 years! I knew that, too. I was scared that, you know, she's going to find out about it. Remember, I didn't talk to my mother. I call her once in a while to bitch about Janelle, but I never actually called her and told her what was going on with my life. You know? And I drank at her for abandoning me. You know? I was the one that was abandoning people and hurting people, you know? So I ended up getting on this plane. I had I don't know if any of you guys have seen this before, okay? I don't know if anybody, I'm going to give you kind of an idea of what I look like, okay, when I got off this plane. And I'm just doing this so you guys know how sick I was. I had those big trip pants on, like, huge. You couldn't see my shoes. I was skinny. I had a Devil Wears Prada shirt on. That's a band, and it was like really tight. Okay, I had the hair, the makeup, in my face. My mom just did this in my face, like this. You couldn't see my face. Okay, I was emo, right? And I sported it, man. I loved it. I looked good, right? I was the sexiest guy in the world when I got off that plane. I don't know if this means sexy, but my grandma's face looked kind of like this. I choose not to shut the door on that, though, because that's where I came from. First thing I asked my grandmother, who I hadn't seen for like I don't know how long, was, "Can I have a cigarette?" Didn't say hi to her. Didn't give her a hug. Wasn't happy. I was just sick. I hadn't had a drink for a while, you know. I was a martyr, you know. I'd tell people, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if I don't get my drink, you're going to be miserable too, you know. That's all I was. I accepted that to this day. Got off that plane a month later, I think. I keep looking at my mom because she knows the story better than I do, I think. She offered for me to go to an AA meeting. I hadn't drank for like 30 days. You know, I don't really honestly remember. But I hadn't drank for like 30 days. And then she offered for me to go to this meeting with her. And I was like, no. But then she offered for me to go to dinner with her as well. And I was like, okay. You know, so I go to this meeting, and it was at the Hillman House in Tulare. This was the first meeting I'd ever gone to. I don't know if anyone has been to the Hillman House in Tulare, but it's not exactly the youngest crowd in the world. Okay? It's not exactly the most exciting thing I've ever been to, right? So I had my headphones. I was a punk, right? I was like, I don't need any. So these people start talking about alcoholism, and for some reason, I don't know why, I've heard this a lot actually, this isn't just me, I know that for a fact, I started listening for a minute, and I realized these people were talking about me, except I was worse, right? I was like, that's nothing, I've been through a lot worse. I was, you know, check this out, I was drinking a half pint of vodka just to get to school, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm one up in alcoholics. I was on the way home, and I was in my head. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I think I'm an alcoholic, Mom. And she's like, are you sure you want to take on that kind of responsibility? It was like one of those things. Have you ever seen The Matrix, the red pill and the blue pill, right? And I was scared. I started going to meetings. This guy's laughing. I started going to these meetings. Looking like that, by the way. You can imagine what people thought of me, right? Gosh. There was this guy named John. I'm not going to say last name. You can't do that. But he's like, why you got those salters in your ears, you know? And this other guy is like, why don't you grow up? And, oh, my gosh. I have never had so much resentment in my life, guys. No, so much resentment. I'm not playing around. I have so much resentment. I drank again. And then again. And then again. And then I realized these guys are trying to help me. I mean, there was a point. The last thing I'm going to talk about with my drunk log is my last drink. Because if you don't remember your last drink, you have, in my awesome opinion, you have a problem. Okay, that's an opinion. Be aware of those. This is an opinion. But I think if you don't remember your last drink, there's no point. Because I remember it very well. I get choked up when I talk about that last drink. Okay? It was terrible. I was at this party with my girlfriend that I always seem to have. One of them. I was a jerk. I was sad. Okay? I told my mother that I went to a movie. And, I drank so much I could hardly stand. But I was still standing. I drank so much. I couldn't control myself. The powerlessness was there. I mean, just powerless over the disease and unmanageability. I mean, I reeked of alcohol when I got home, and it was so obvious that I had been drinking. And I played it off. I played it off. And I told my mom I was at a movie, and it made no sense, I'm pretty sure. And I went upstairs and woke up. I didn't even wake up. It was the same night. Same night I went into my mom's room. She was right across the hall from me at this point. And I said, you've been sober for like 15 years. How is that possible? How is that possible without even one relapse? I was angry at this woman for this. Okay, I was so mad. Was, how can you possibly stay sober for 18 years without even screwing up? My mom's really long-winded. Okay, like, I mean, She just has this real knack for telling me a lot about the program. She has this real knack for like just spilling everything about it. I was expecting that out of her. I was expecting her to give me this long-winded thing about how she got sober. And you shouldn't be doing this and this and this and this, and you're doing this wrong. And all she had to say was, you need to take suggestions. And I had never thought about that before. For the first time in my life, I thought to myself, am I taking suggestions? Am I actually doing those steps? Have I actually gotten a sponsor that fits me? Have I actually been reading that big book? Have I actually been doing the things that I've been told to do? Heck no, I wasn't. That's why I'm drinking. And I started bawling about it. I just, like a baby. Woke up the next morning, I haven't taken a drink since then. Because I did all those things that people told me, of course. What a surprise, right? I haven't been the best Alcoholics Anonymous member in the world, no. I have not, half of my sobriety I made no sense. A little more than that, right, Gary? I think I'm not making sense right now, actually. For more than half of my sobriety, I made absolutely no sense. I still look like I did. I moved out of my mom and grandma's house for God knows why. I was homeless in my sobriety, guys. I'm not drinking here. Homeless in my sobriety. All this stuff, and not one moment of it was made sense to me because I thought I was doing everything everyone was telling me. Did I drink? No. Only because this guy that I met at this thing called Primary Purpose Group. Don't go to that meeting very often, but I met him there. It works in a serious way. I asked him to be my sponsor. He's actually sitting in this room right now, supporting me to this day. And he told me something that stuck with me. If you can find a good enough reason to drink, I'll do it with you. It makes sense to me. Not many things make sense to Alan. Not many things. Nothing makes sense to me because I have to be analytical about everything, right? This guy helped me so much. Stan, by the way. Just have to say that. I don't like giving myself credit. I don't do it enough, actually, I don't think. But I really give a lot of my sobriety to God and the people that have been in my life. I don't do much. I just do what I'm suggested to do. I'm a really happy person today. I really am. I am extremely happy. I've been going to this thing called Young People's. Remember when I told you about the Hillman House? It's the complete opposite of that. And guess what? There's old people there. It's amazing. It really is. For the first time I related to someone, it took away objection. It took away that objection. I'm too young. That one objection that's been killing me. I'm too young to do this. And I'm doing it. Happily. All I know is God wants these things for me, right? I mean, if you don't have a God in your life, you better do something really quick. Because you need God in your life for this thing. And you can find that through the steps and in the big book, by the way. And, man, you even get someone to help you. Someone is even going to help you do it. And then guess what? You get to go help somebody else. And those people are going to help somebody else. You know, it's amazing. I mean, so many people in my life, even if they're involved with me and not alcoholic, they're trying to improve their life because I'm a good influence today. I've never been a good influence before, trust me. I wasn't a bad person. I was very sick. I met this girl a while back. Way better than Sarah, by the way. I met her at beauty school. I've been with her for like 2 years and 9 months now. No, 1 year and 9 months. That's my sobriety. 1 year and 9 months. And I'm in love with her. I've never felt love before, guys. I don't just get like these bad emotions that I have to deal with. I have to deal with good emotions too. It's hard. But it's healthy. I mean, I practice the principles of all my affairs. I go to meetings. I try working as hard as I can. And I'm a happy person today. And I've always had a reason to be happy. I'm sober. I'm alive. And God wants these amazing things for me. And it says it in the big book. It says, God wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. He wants me to be free. Okay? I mean, I've never been free before from anything. I'm a smoker. I'm a sex addict. I'm an alcoholic. I do drugs. I bite my fingernails. I don't pray. I do all these terrible things, right? But I'm free from the bondage of alcohol today. I can go anywhere on this earth and not have to drink. I like playing pool. I love pool. Pool is one of the coolest things in the world to me. Just go to the bar, shoot some pool. And I asked my sponsor one day, can I go to the bar to play some pool? He's like, are you going to drink? Is that your intention, is to go to play pool? I'm like, yeah. I went to play pool and didn't take a drink. That obsession has been removed from me, is what I'm trying to say. I'm a free man today. I can do whatever I want. If there's a big old convention in Fresno this year called Accipaw, she couldn't say it, remember? Big old convention. It's amazing. I've been 3 years in a row. In my fourth year right here. Oh my gosh. Talk about freedom. It was about, what was last year's grade? Like 2,500 young alcoholics getting together to celebrate sobriety. Tell me that's not amazing. I don't know if anyone's ever been to a convention before, but it's really cool to hear like 2,500 people saying the Serenity Prayer. And 2,500 people saying the Lord's Prayer after that. I don't know if you know how that feels. I suggest that you do it. It's going to be held in March. St. Paddy's Day weekend. How ironic. And then I go every year if it's possible for me. I've been helping people ever since I started being in young people's meetings. Because I realized something. I realized that if I can't be an influence in this world, who else is going to be? There's going to be plenty of influences. Why not me too? I'm 22 years old. I haven't drank on my 21st birthday. I haven't drank since I was 19. I haven't drank since I was 19 years old. That's a miracle. And I didn't do it. God did. You know, and this huge convention, by the way, I'm a rule jumper, I'm sorry. This huge convention is just a spiritual awakening for any person that thinks they can't have fun in sobriety. You think you can't have fun in sobriety, hang out with me for 2 days. I'll show you some fun. I promise. I promise you. You're going to be bored with me maybe a week later, but I will show you fun. Because I can prove to you that there's no good reason to drink. I can prove it to you. You know? I'm a DJ. I'm a DJ. I like partying. I love the party. I go to parties all the time. There's sometimes drugs and alcohol there, but I party. I have fun today. I don't suggest it to the person that isn't spiritually fit. I don't suggest it to the person that's like obsessing over the drink. I was like a year and some months sober when I did that. And I was still kind of funny about it. But I didn't drink. That's what my point is. I can go, David, you know who inspired me to do this? David. David said, I went on cruises and there was like 25 bars on this ship. And I'm telling you, I was rocking into the fourth dimension and all this stuff. And he inspired the hell out of me. This guy inspired the hell out of me to go have some fun. Because I was miserable. I've had so much fun in sobriety. And there's a lot of people that are there for you. I pointed out very specific people. And they're a little more. But every single one of you has been there for me. If I needed help, I know where to go. I'm a happy alcoholic every day, guys. I'm not always in a good mood. I'm not always, like, jumping around for joy about my life. The train of life is not going to stop for me. It's not. I thought it would when I got sober, but it didn't. It's actually harder now than it ever has been. But you know what? I'm staying sober through it. I'm having fun through it. And I'm happy through it because I have really good reasons to be happy today. Someone told me to make a gratitude list one time. And I had all these reasons to be happy on that gratitude list. I have a reason to be happy. Sobriety, God, breathing. I just do that once in a while for myself when I feel crappy. You know, and my last subject of the night, helping others. There's a whole chapter about this subject in the big book. I wish that big book came out with my mother because it's like an instruction manual for Alan. Okay? I'm not kidding. Because I don't know how to live my life. That thing tells me how to wake up and sleep. That's how much we need help, guys. And helping others, they made a very good point about this. An entire chapter, actually. And I started thinking to myself, maybe I should start doing this thing. It was actually for my ego at first. I have a big one of those. I was like, well, if I'm helping another alcoholic, I'm going to look good. Seriously, I did that. It was very recently, too. I'm not ashamed of it. We're all sick here, Juan. I've done that, though. But once I started helping that person, it kept me sober very many a time. This first guy that came up to me, he's like... he called me like a week later and says, hey, let's start the steps. I'm like, heck yeah. Young guy about my age. Weird guy. But he's almost completed his steps. Very proud of him. Second guy that came up to me dropped me. Third guy that came up to me dropped me. Fourth guy, fifth guy, all these guys just stopped. You know, I started getting discouraged. And then another guy came up to me. He was from this group home. And he, I love this kid. He's like one of my best friends. It says in the big book that you may have not just found another alcoholic, you might have found a friend as well. I found one because I hang out with this kid all the time and we work our steps together and we talk AA, you know, and he's been sober for quite some time now. And I'm telling you guys, helping another alcoholic will help you. It'll help you. And there's a couple more of them that I'm helping too. You know, it's just kind of the idea of it is that if you give it away, you're going to get to keep it as well. You know, that's why I put that motto there. You know, and it doesn't have to be a fellow alcoholic. It can be anyone just walking down the street. You can be that person that saved a life. You can be that person that that opened a door for someone and they might have been having a crappy day. It can be something as simple as that. But you're still helping others. And I think that's an extremely important thing in this program. If you haven't done that yet, I suggest that you do it. And I think suggestions like pulling a parachute cord. You might die if you don't do it. And this whole program has just changed my life in so many different ways. I couldn't even explain to you the difference in me. You see the outside, Alan, but I get to see the inside one every day. I'm a good person today. No one can tell me different. I might believe him for a couple of seconds, but all that takes is a little prayer. Something like I like to call a higher power of my understanding. I've had many of my sponsees and many of my friends come up to me as like, I have no idea how to get something over to God. Honestly, I don't know how to do it. I couldn't tell you in words. You just have to do it. I believe there's a higher power out there, or wherever it is. I really don't know, honestly. I think it's something habitable. But I'm going to have to say this, though. There is a difference between believing something's there and having faith that something's there. Having a belief in something being there is just going to a circus on Sunday, every Sunday, and seeing this guy with a wheelbarrow go across a tightrope. Every time, you've been going there for like 2 years, right? Every time this guy goes across the tightrope with the wheelbarrow, every single time, and you're going to this circus expecting this to happen. That's believing. Having faith, that's getting in it. That's getting in the wheelbarrow. And I've gotten in it, as far as I know. As far as I know, I've given my life over to God. I wouldn't be sober today if I didn't. And I wouldn't be happy, definitely, if I didn't. You know, I have a very high amount of acceptance in my life. It says in the big book, once again, that acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I'm disturbed, it's because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And then a little later in the paragraph, it says, nothing, absolutely nothing happened in God's world by mistake. That hit me really hard as well. I don't accept life on my terms very often, guys. Why isn't things going my way? Why does life have to be hard for me? Too much of me stuff. And honestly, it doesn't matter because I'm alive, sober, and happy today, right? I try not driving the car. If your God's in your passenger seat, I suggest that you let him drive for a little while and see how that goes for you. Because I'm a really happy guy. I'm a really happy guy. I don't know if you guys can tell the difference between me. If you've been here for a while and seen me in my early sobriety, I don't know if you guys can see it. But I see it. I think I'm the most important person to see it. and the people closest to me are very important to me too. I really, really want to thank Bill for letting me do this. I remember one time I was about 9 months sober and I asked him if I could do this. This just popped in my head the other day. And he said, maybe when you have a little more sobriety. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get a year. He's going to ask me, watch. Here comes, he didn't ask me. There's three different forms of sobriety, guys. There's a physical sobriety, which I suggest. There's emotional sobriety, which I suggest. And then there's the most awesome one, is the spiritual sobriety. I didn't have any of that crap when I asked him, man. I didn't. So I'm just saying it's a real honor to be up here. And I'm being completely serious when I say that. I've been coming to this meeting for a while now. I don't come every week, I admit it. But I really am grateful that I could do this. And I'm not as nervous as I thought I was going to be. I feel like you guys are my family, honestly. And I'm really grateful that no one was rude or stand up and say, you're wrong, Alan, like they used to. They had a point, though. I'm really, really, really grateful for this, though. And then once again, I'd like to thank all the people that have been there for me through this entire journey, because I was sick. I once was lost, but now I'm found. So, thank you so much for listening and being there for me. And keep coming back, and I will too. Thanks.